Happy Monday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. So glad you're dropping in for another great show here. Of course, it's going to be a trip report because it is Monday, and today you're in for a treat. We're going to talk with listener Janine from Pennsylvania about her awesome trip to Hong Kong, all of the excitement of going to an international park and the anxiety it can cause, but also the familiarity with the Disney product. We're also going to talk about some epic times at Disneyland and DCA, and it's a great show today. So I hope you enjoy this little mini vacation on your drive into work today. Don't forget today's show brought to you by our friends over at touringplans.com. They're going to help you steer clear of the crowds and see the most amount of attractions possible on your next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or Universal vacation. They're over at touringplans.com. We're also brought to you by our Amazon affiliate link over at BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon. You get all your Prime benefits, costs you nothing extra, and it really does help support the show. Again, BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1538 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Monday to you and happy Monday before the big Indie Disney meet this weekend, Saturday, September 21st, out at the Hamilton County Fairgrounds in Noblesville, Indiana. We're going to be on the main stage with lots of other Disney friends raising money for Give Kids the World Village. It is a great cause and an even better day. It's Disney fans getting together for an awesome cause, having a great time. It's like the world's biggest Disney potluck. So if you're anywhere in the Midwest, or like I say now, if you're anywhere in the continental United States, jump in that car this weekend, head out to the Hamilton County Fairgrounds. We want to meet you and say hello at the Indie Disney Meet 2019. So hope to see you there. All right, time to get to today's show. We are going to have another great trip report. And speaking of road trips, we're going to take a road trip around the world today. It's going to be a lot of fun. More experiences than I've ever had as a Disney fan. So I'm excited to introduce Janine to us from Pennsylvania. Janine, how are you doing today?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Glad to have you on the show. And I know that you are recording from school. So thanks for taking some time and blocking the kids out for 40 minutes or so. I know it's a dangerous thing to do.
My pleasure.
So shout out to your students, right?
Yes, my students. I work with a great team of college students here, and they know I'm a huge Disney fan. So actually, I wanted to tell you, last year, they surprised me and had custom-made Mickey Mouse sneakers made for me, right down to the design of the tongue, even on the shoe. It was just amazing. So what a great group I work with.
Now, was that a gift or was that a bribe so that they could get the final on a curve or something like that?
Well, luckily, I'm not the one grading their exams, but it was definitely a really wonderful surprise, one of the best gifts I've ever gotten. So. Yeah.
You're making me miss education just for a minute, but okay, I'm over it. Okay, it passed. I work from home now, so it's all good. Anyhow, let's talk about your Disney fandom and some of the experiences you had. Really, we've talked via email, and it's going to be hard to put this into a 35-minute show. You've had so many unique and awesome experiences when it comes to Disney travel. But before we get into that, I've been doing this over the last few months. Like, why is Disney so special to you that your students are giving you Disney sneakers and you're traveling around the world to the Disney destinations? What's your backstory when it comes to Disney?
Yeah, so my parents are, well, actually our extended family, all of us are big Disney fans. And I think my parents first took me when I was about 2.5. So I sort of track Walt Disney World's age with my own. So we sort of share, birthday year. And my parents were in education, so during the summers when they had some time off, we used to visit their best friends who lived in Florida, and we would always do a trip to Walt Disney World. And I just have great memories of going there with them and with my brother. We were the type that we would get to the parks at the crack of dawn as soon as they opened, and we were the last car in the parking lot at the end of the day. So many, many good trips growing up along, you know, throughout my childhood.
You know, when I hear people say, you know, give memories like that from their childhood of, you know, going in and, you know, opening the park, closing the park, that to me, that was Six Flags. I mean, we didn't have the opportunity to get down to Walt Disney World. But, you know, as I look back on those days, it just fills my heart because while I don't really remember like riding the log ride on a particular day or going on the Screaming Eagle, what have you, the attractions at Six Flags, you know, it's the feeling that I was there with my family and that nothing else mattered. You know, it was summer, nothing mattered. I mean, is that kind of how it was for you?
Mm-hmm, for sure. Yeah, I mean, those were just really special times. And you know, my husband and I, we wanted to take our kids as soon as we could. So we've taken them a number of times over the years with my parents as well. And again, it's just that joy. I understand now what my parents talked about when they saw me as a little girl being super excited on Small World and standing up in the boat and just reaching for the dolls. You know, and we saw that same excitement in our kids then as we've been taking them over the years. So really, yeah, just fantastic memories.
That's kind of the joy of being a parent, you know, on the opposite side of things. You know, you had such great experiences as a kid. I did as well. You know, I finally got down when I was in college and fell in love with the place. But, you know, taking your kids and you get to do that all over again. You know, it's like the circle of life, you know, speaking of mm-hmm. Disney, it is. I mean, it's really... You know, you think, well, you know, I don't know if I'll ever be able to beat going down with just my significant other and the freedom of going to Food and Wine and staying out late and no responsibilities. You know, we can go to the fancy adult restaurants. And then, you know, you think, oh, it's going to be ruined when I'm running around here with a diaper bag. But you know what? You know, in a big stroller. But you know what? It's even better. It's pretty awesome.
Right. We had sort of the opposite effect because we started out going with the kids, and then it wasn't until later that we actually did the trip without them. And then I had another trip with just one of my good friends, and that was a completely different experience as well. So I'll have to say, you know, at first when my husband and I decided to do the trip without the kids, I felt a little guilty, but we ended up having such an incredible time, and I definitely think I would do that again if given the opportunity. I mean, I love going with the kids, but it was a really just a unique opportunity to do that without them.
Yeah, I totally feel guilty every time I go down for a media event or something, you know, solo race weekend, what have you. But my next few trips, I'm going down at the end of the month because I want to ride the Skyliner and see Epcot Forever and see the last Illuminations. You know, I do feel guilty, but I'm still going. I don't feel that guilty. So you know what? I can see it when I get home, and I'll bring up souvenirs. So that's how it's going to work. All right. So let's jump into some of your trips. You've had some really unique ones. I know we can't talk about them all, so I'm just going to let you pick. Give us some of your highlights from your, as you called it, your Disney globetrotting.
Globetrotting, yeah. So back in 2017 in January, my husband and I, we were going to Sri Lanka for the wedding of some of our good friends. And I said to him, you know, we could fly through Hong Kong on the way there and back. And if you want to do an early 20th wedding anniversary celebration, we could tack that on to our trip and stop by Hong Kong Disneyland on our way home. So we ended up, you know, booking the trip and we left Colombo. It was kind of crazy. We left there, I want to say maybe around midnight and got in around 6 a.m. to Hong Kong. Wow. And we had booked 2 days in the parks. There's a package deal that we got staying at the Hollywood Hotel, the Disneyland Hollywood Hotel. And, you know, back when I was planning this, I'm a crazy maniac planner. I love to spend hours and hours and hours poring over all the different websites that we love, listening to the podcasts, looking at, you know, the Disney website to get the times for everything. And it was really kind of tricky because there wasn't much information out there at that point for Hong Kong Disneyland. So that was kind of frustrating for me because I love to spend hours, you know, doing all the planning for each day. But I've managed to find a couple blogs. I made numerous phone calls actually to some of the Hong Kong Disney staff and cast members, and we got there. So the deal that we had gotten was 2 nights at the Hollywood Hotel, and With it came breakfast at Chef Mickey's. So there's a Chef Mickey's in that hotel. And then it came with two meal vouchers for quick service meals. And what was really nice is that I knew based on our flight timings, we were not going to be able to use our second Chef Mickey on the day that we were checking out. So it was supposed to start the second day and then the third day. But after a couple of phone calls, one of the cast members let me know that we were able to work it out. Since we were arriving so early that first morning and we weren't going to be able to check into our room and we're probably going to be starving, you know, once we got there, they were fantastic. They let us do Chef Mickey's right when we got there. We checked all our bags. And after breakfast, we just kind of did a quick cleanup in the bathroom and then hopped on a bus and went over to the park and went through the park, you know, with very little sleep because we'd basically just been on a flight for 6 hours and, you know, went through the day and then came back and got a good night's sleep to tackle the next day. But yeah, it was really great. The Chef Mickey's there was incredible. I'm a big foodie, so I really loved all the different things that they had on the menu. It was kind of my dream breakfast because it had all kinds of Chinese cuisine. It had some South Asian curries. They had dim sum. And then they still had your traditional Mickey waffles.
That's what I was going to say. That all sounds great. But I mean, tell me, Chef Mickey's has to have a Mickey waffle somewhere.
It does have a different, yeah, it did have the Mickey waffles. It had Three Little Pig dim sum, which was kind of funny and very cute. Yeah, it was fantastic. So definitely my kind of restaurant.
So let me ask you this, though, because, I mean, it really does. You kind of, you know, mentioned it, like with that kind of international travel, you know, it's not like we, you know, hop from Pennsylvania or from Missouri. We're down to Walt Disney World in a couple hours on Southwest. You know, it's not a big deal. You hit the ground running that full day, you know, no big deal. You just sat, you're ready to go. You're ready to get up and get moving. But when you're traveling that distance, you're dealing with time changes. You're dealing with sitting on a plane for quite a long time. Does it, I mean, were you able to kind of get your bearings quickly, or was it something like by the time you got your bearings, like you were moving on to the next thing?
I think we did okay. I mean, we were pretty tired by the end of that first day. So we did choose to kind of, you know, have an earlier night and get a good night's sleep. So we were well rested for the next day. I mean, I tend to really push myself at the parks. My family is much more laid back than I am. So if it were up to me, we would be there when the parks open, just like we did when we were kids, and be there till, you know, the very last minute of the extra magic hours in whatever park has them. And then I'm ready to go back, sleep for a couple hours, and do it again the next day. So I have to force myself to plan in rest days for my family so that I don't drive them crazy and run them ragged. But, you know, I mentioned going on a trip with one of my good friends. So we were actually in Disneyland in Anaheim, and she's a Disney maniac like me. So we kind of took that pace, and literally we did like 19 hours the first day, 16 and a half the second, 16 the third. And I think anybody, you know, that knows us would not want to travel with us because we're kind of crazy that way. But yeah, I think, you know, that first day we did okay. And it was also the excitement of being at a new park. I mean, we'd never been in Hong Kong before or Hong Kong Disneyland. So it, you know, it was just exciting to see what was different, what was the same. You know, and it's just that joy you get when you walk into the Disney park. I mean, when you approach, I don't know about you, but like, I always have that moment as you're approaching the entrance and you see the Mickey face and the flowers and the train station behind it. And I get teary every single time. I'm getting teary just thinking about it right now. Yeah. So it was, I think the excitement just really kept us moving.
And I would think for somebody like you too, there's, you know, you have a lot of emotions going on. You may have some anxiety because, like you said, you're a huge planner, and a part of planning, I think, is that control. Like I have a plan for if this happens, then I'm going to do this. And I have, you know, I'm kind of wrangled everything together into like a spreadsheet. This is how my day is going to unfold. But also at the same time, I would imagine that going somewhere like Hong Kong, while the Disney, you know, characters and the product is very familiar, it's a lot more exotic than the States offers. And I'm sure that it was kind of just thrilling to not know what's going on, because, you know, like, I've never been to Disneyland, and I'm trying to, like, I want to go so badly, but I know you only get one first time. And I'm so looking forward to it now. I've been such a Disney fan for so long, and I've been waiting for so long. Like, I'm like, oh my gosh, I just only get to do this once. I want to do it right. So it's one of those things. I'm sure it was very exciting because you have that familiarity of the Disney product, but I'm sure it was very kind of exotic at the same time.
Absolutely, absolutely. Just to give you an example, at one of the food carts in the park, you know, we have a tradition. We always get our Mickey Mouse ice cream pop. And so the first day we decided, okay, we're going to pop over and grab one. And we're in line. They call them frozen lollipops instead of popsicles. And it was really funny because in that same vending area, they had dried Korean squid in one spot, and then the turkey leg, and then the frozen lollipops. And it just, you know, it was quite interesting to see, like, the, you know, the different options that you could get in, you know, throughout the park. Just so very different than what we're seeing, you know, back here in the States. So it was kind of cool.
So was it a goal for you guys, though, to try the, you know, the more exotic things like the squid, or did you stick to kind of the more safe options? I would be torn because I don't know that I'd want to try it, but I'd tell myself at the same time, like, when am I ever going to have this opportunity again?
Yeah, well, I mean, we're pretty exotic eaters to begin with, and you know, I work with students from all over the world, so I really enjoy food from many different countries. So I already knew going into it, I'm not a big squid fan, so I didn't feel tempted to do that. And when we were looking at the different restaurants in the park and then in the different hotels, I picked ones that I knew had things that we already love. So we ate at this really fantastic restaurant right near Mystic Manor, and the menu is a lot of different curries. So I had a goat curry or lamb curry when we were there, and my husband probably had something similar. We love to try. We're pretty daring. We love to try different things.
That's good, though. I mean, but that's why you go, you know, like, I mean, if it was all the same, what's the point, you know? So yeah, I would have to step outside my comfort zone and I don't know, man. I'd take a little bitty bite of a squid and see how it is. I don't know. There's not a lot of that here in St. Louis, I can tell you that. So going to someplace like Hong Kong, okay, if somebody's considering this, and I think everybody kind of has it kind of on their Disney bucket list to go to these international parks because, again, they're very exotic, but they're very comfortable at the same time because you got a little, you know, Disney there. What advice would you give somebody? Like, or what were the highlights for you? Like, something not to miss, something, you know, don't fall into this trap, make sure you consider this. What kind of things would you offer the audience?
Yeah. Well, like I said, you know, back when I was planning, there wasn't a lot of information out there. I have noticed that there are a lot more blogs now that speak to Hong Kong Disneyland. By far, our favorite attraction was Mystic Manor. I'm not sure if you're familiar with it. The backstory is that there's this adventurer called Lord Henry Mystic, and he goes, you know, to different countries and collects antiques and artifacts from different places. And on one of his journeys, he rescues this monkey who he calls Albert from like a poisonous spider, and he brings Alfred back to his manor. And one of the items that he also brings back is this magic box. And he tells Albert, you know, don't open this magic box. It will bring everything to life that is, you know, within reach if you open it. And his house is this incredible, almost like a museum. So he's got all these different wings from, you know, with Asian art and African art and so forth. And of course, Albert doesn't listen to him.
I was going to say, I'm sure the monkey opens the box. I'm just saying.
And so you're going through his home, and all of these pieces of art are coming to life, dragons and vases and, oh my gosh, you know, knights in armor and whatnot. And it's just absolutely spectacular. I mean, the technology that they use is fantastic. We wrote it, I don't know, 3 or 4 times probably. It was that great. And what I think is so cool about Disney is how the Imagineers spend so much time really thinking about these storylines and then carrying them from one park to the next. So when we were in Florida, we took our kids, and my parents went with us in January of 2018, so a year after that trip. And we were eating in the Jungle Company, the Navigation, I forget what it's called.
The old Skipper Canteen.
Over in Adventureland. We were eating in there, and because I love the detail everywhere, my daughter and I walked over to the little section in there where they have a little library. And as you look through the books in there, you can see books by Lord Henry Mystic, who they're referencing from the Mystic Manor. And I think that's so charming the way they pull everything together. And, you know, they have this adventurers club and he's part of it. And then folks from, you know, the Jungle Cruise and so forth. And I love how they just tie everything together. It's, you know, these little Easter eggs that you discover every time you go to one of the parks.
God, I love that stuff, too. It's like the 17 layers of the onion for the Disney fan. You know, like you could just go through and have a good time as a casual person just wanting to ride rides and, you know, eat a churro. But also, you know, like you said, you can literally go from one side of the planet to the other and find connections. If you're, you know, but you got to know where to look. That's what I love about Disney. That's so exciting. So now let me ask you, too, about the hotel experience. Was it pretty similar to stateside? I mean, theming of the hotel, or, you know, like, was it reasonably priced for your accommodations? What'd you think about that?
Yeah, we loved the hotel. So at that time, there were two hotels. There's one that's kind of more similar to the Grand Floridian. And then there was the Hollywood Hotel that we stayed at. You know, very similar to the feel that you get when you're in DCA or when you're in Hollywood Studios. It was really cool. Outside the hotel, there was an area where you could walk, and it was like you were walking through LA and kind of overlooking Hollywood. When you got in the elevator at the hotel and the doors shut, Mickey's voice starts talking to you as you're going up and down the elevator, and they're telling you what number floor you're on. The other thing that we didn't expect, which I don't know if we actually paid for this or if it was part of the package or if it was just something special that they did, but when we got into our room that first night, we were shocked because both of the beds had these covers over them that said Happiest Celebration, and it had all the characters on there, and there were balloons and these really cool Mickeys that were holding them in place on the bed, and there were these Happiest Celebration slippers. And I called down and I said, can we keep these? And they were like, oh yeah. I said, great. So, you know, our bags were pretty full from our trip to Sri Lanka, but I definitely left room for Disney souvenirs. So we kind of wrapped all that stuff up and brought that home. And I've used those bed covers actually for birthday parties since then. You know, I hang them up on the wall and for family celebration. So it's kind of cool.
Heck yeah. I'd have left my clothes back behind in Hong Kong or something. You know, I'd be like, shoot, I can get more shorts and flip-flops at Old Navy when I get home, you know, I'm bringing this stuff home. That's so cool. So I would think though, like, as I'm thinking about the Hollywood theme, I like it, but it seems like it's comfortable to us because like it's in our culture, but I guess it's really exotic maybe for the locals in, I mean, I'd imagine that there's a lot of, you know, local folks that go to the parks, but it seems like Hollywood is kind of a foreign idea. Maybe I don't know because I don't travel outside the country very often, but I mean, it just seems like a weird theme for Hong Kong. Is it something everybody embraces over there?
You know, I'm actually not really sure. I don't know, but it was definitely well done. I'm excited to hopefully someday go back because I'd love to see the new hotel that they've created. It's more along that Adventurers Club idea. Oh, so cool. And it seemed really cool. And I was looking at it online. So I'm hoping to go back. Also, because when we got there, it was right before they opened the Iron Man attraction. And I was a little bit bummed because, again, because there wasn't a lot of information out there, I didn't realize that the 2 days that we were there, they were closing it right before they had the soft opening, and then they closed it for 2 days, and then they were opening it again. And because of this, some special event that they were having with some VIPs, they closed Small World, which is one of my absolute favorite rides, and they closed the called Mickey and the Wondrous Book, which is a show that is unique to Hong Kong. So I have some plans for, you know, if I ever get back there. They opened an Ant-Man and Wasp attraction as well. So hopefully someday I'll get to check those out.
Yeah, that's how they get you. Always new stuff, and always stuff that was down when you were there. Like, oh, dang, I got to go back and tell you. I know, because for Ricky, when she went to Paris, you know, she doesn't know if she's ever going to get a chance to go back to Paris, but it was Phantom Manor for her. You know, it just happened to be down for refurb when she was there, and it was just killing her. She took 1,000 pictures, but didn't get to ride it. You know, it's just like such a regret. So I feel your pain. All right, so I want to also talk about this Disneyland trip you took because... Just like I run a lot. I run like 13 miles a day most days. I get out, I start my day, I go on a big run. And like just the idea of how many hours you mentioned that you spent in the park with your friend, like 19-hour days, 16-hour days, that made me almost pass out because, you know, like I can handle being tired at home, but like Disney tired is a whole new level for me. So you're go, go, go. And I think, you know what, it's a great thing to have friends that think like you and have the stamina to do Disney like you too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My friend Kim, she's a fantastic Disney pal to hang out with. And she's actually been to she does a lot of international travel. So she has been to Shanghai. She's been to Tokyo. She hasn't been to Paris. So I'm hoping maybe sometime in the future we can tackle Paris together and do another one of our crazy adventures. Because she's a great traveler.
That's awesome. So tell us about that trip. Like when you guys spent that much time in the parks and obviously, I mean, with that many hours, you probably saw and did most of everything you can do out in California. So what were some of the highlights there?
Absolutely. Yeah. So, you know, again, because I'm a big planner, I had my, you know, 6 pages of notes and she was laughing at me. And so was our Uber driver as we were heading from LA down to Anaheim. And I'm going through, you know, all the stuff that we needed to keep in mind, but we absolutely did everything that we wanted to. And it was just an incredible trip. So, the first night that we got there, ironically, the folks that we were, my husband and I went to the wedding in Sri Lanka for, they were in Anaheim. So we met up with them at Downtown Disney and had dinner. And that was great, spending some time in Downtown Disney and seeing them. And then my friend and I, we continued to go around and we just wanted to explore all the hotels because I always love to see what the different themes look like. And we had heard that there's some great old photos of Walt in the one hotel. So we did that for a few hours, got back pretty late, and then we had gotten some tickets through parksavers.com, and we stayed at a Good Neighbor Hotel, which it was a great hotel. Our view from our room, we could see both parks, which was really cool. So we could see the castle and the fireworks, you know, from there. And it was a very short walk to Disneyland. I mean, it was probably less than 10 minutes from where we were staying. And it was a Disney-themed hotel as well, so Good Neighbor, but they had just renovated it. So our room actually had a huge picture of the castle on the one wall, which was really, really neat.
Oh, it sounds awesome. I mean, I've heard the Good Neighbor hotels at Disneyland are really, you know, something to consider. You know, obviously they only have 3 on-site hotels, and those can get pricey kind of quickly most times of the year. So it's not, you know, while they're kind of second-class citizen hotels, I've heard that, you know, a lot of my friends go to Disneyland to swear by them. And they say, you know what, you're almost just as close, and the amenities are nice, and the price is where it needs to be.
Exactly. Yeah, it was perfect. It was just right for us. So we were given, I think with the tickets that I had gotten, we had 1 early magic hour. I'm not sure what they called it with that package, but we got to the parks. I wanted to make sure we had to swap the voucher into the actual tickets. So we got there super early, I think like 6 a.m., knowing that the extra magic hour was at 7 a.m. So we wanted to have plenty of time. And I'm trying to remember if we went right into, I think we went right into Disneyland. We didn't see, we went to DCA the second day. So, you know, we knocked out everything that we possibly could, and we rode many of the attractions more than one time, of course, because we, you know, we maxed out our days. Loved the Indiana Jones. That was something I was really excited to see, since that's unique to Disneyland. And I'm a huge Pirates fan. I loved Pirates of the Caribbean in Disneyland. I really liked it actually more than the one in Walt Disney World. It's a little bit longer. It's got some different scenes in it. We had made reservations to eat in the Blue Bayou so that we could actually eat inside the attraction. And that was really, really neat. So we did that the first night. And I loved some elements of Small World. Also, what's different there than the one in Florida then is that they actually have like Disney characters kind of mixed in among the dolls. So, you know, the characters fit into whatever country or region that they were, you know, are part of in their storyline. So that was kind of neat. The second day, I had been reading lots of blogs leading up to this because Guardians of the Galaxy had opened 1 week before we got there. So I knew that it was going to be crazy lines to get in there. And I wanted to make sure that we knew how to get the fast passes and be able to get on that ride. So I had a plan in mind based on some conversations I had with someone, a blog that I had read. But then we actually spoke with some cast members the first night, and they gave us some advice as well. So we, the second day, went immediately to California Adventure, went straight for the fast pass line for Guardians. And it was crazy. The line for the fast pass was, you haven't seen it yet, but there's a street in DCA that leads up to where you head towards Guardians of the Galaxy. And the line for just the fast pass machine was all the way down the street. So we got in, we got our fast pass. And at that point you could hold fast passes in both parks. So we actually, and the parks are so close together that we bounced back and forth between the parks a few times based on fast passes. But oh my word, Guardians of the Galaxy. At first, when I heard that they changed Tower of Terror, I was a little bit upset because I'm a huge Tower of Terror fan. But I have to say, they did a phenomenal job, and I loved it so much. So I was actually glad that they made the switch after having seen it. So we got to ride that that day, and then we did the same thing the next day because we loved it so much. We went and got the Fast Pass super early for that.
You gave me flashbacks to when, you know, they still had Legacy Fast Pass at Walt Disney World and going for Toy Story, Midway Mania Fast Pass. It's the same thing. You know, it's like, is this the line to ride the ride? Nope, this is the line for the Fast Pass. I was like, okay, check, let me get in. And then, you know, the thing would jam up and it'd slow everything down. It was crazy. But you know what? I think a lot of people still reflect back and say, man, you know, I wish we still had the Legacy Fast Passes where you go around and, you know, you don't schedule your Fast Passes on My Disney Experience. I don't know. I think it's one of those things that it's been so long now that you just remember the good, you don't remember the bad. I don't know. So what did you think? I mean, did you prefer going around and grabbing the Fast Passes, or do you prefer the My Disney Experience kind of system down at Walt Disney World?
You know, there's things that I like about both of them. I mean, I also love to have memorabilia, so I still have.
Oh, I have a lot. Yeah, me too. Me too.
I can't get rid of them. I love them.
Me too. I love those things. I have like Soarin'. You know, yeah. I mean, like I have really old ones. You know, and I'll hold on to those things forever. You know, Stitch. Who needed a fast pass for Stitch? But I had one.
So true. Yeah.
That's why I still have it, because I didn't need it. Well, so let me ask you this. So, because we're wrapping up here, and I just want to get some advice in here, because you have more experience than most. You know, you do a lot of planning, you read all the blogs, listen to the podcast, you're very connected. So for somebody that's looking to try something outside their norm when it comes to Disney, you know, Disney vacations, like me, you know, I go to World time and time again, cruise, stuff like that. Somebody's heading down, you know, maybe to Disneyland for the first time, or they're looking for an international trip, whether it's Paris, Hong Kong, Shanghai, what have you, Tokyo. What would you tell them? Because I think a lot of times it's a little daunting. You know, you're comfortable with where you've gone before, especially here in the States. You don't need to worry about passports and international travel and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, I think sometimes somebody needs to give you like a little kick in the butt to get you going. So what would you say to folks that, you know, want to try this but haven't done it yet?
Yeah. I mean, definitely, I think reading other people's blogs always puts my mind at ease because, you know, they put so much great information out there. But the cast members are so willing to help. I mean, I make so many phone calls in advance of our trips. And I think, wow, these folks are just so kind because sometimes I'm calling, you know, probably towards the end of their shift and I'm asking them all these questions. But I just really appreciate how the cast members are so willing to help you figure out the answers to your questions and help you, you know, plan to make this the best trip that it can be. And so, yeah, I would say don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to try these different parks. They want that to be a magical experience for you. And, you know, they're going to do everything that they can to help you have the best time that you can, you know, with you and your family or your friends or whoever you're traveling with. So do it. Try it.
I
hope
agree.
You get to Disneyland, and I hope you get to one of these parks overseas too. It's amazing.
I'm dying for Disneyland. I can't wait. It's going to happen here soon. Now, let me ask you one other thing, because you're a true Disney fan. What's on the horizon for you? What do you have booked? What are you looking forward to? What's next?
I have a conference in Orlando in another year and a half or so. So I will be going, hopefully, tacking on a trip, you know, onto that conference. And that might be one with just my, you know, with my husband and me. So that's on the horizon. My longer term plans, I would really, really like to get to Shanghai Disney. And I've been to Tokyo Disney years and years and years ago, like, you know, soon after it had opened. So I'd love to get back and see, you know, Disney at Sea, I think it's called, and see all the new things at Tokyo Disney. So my lifelong goal is to get to all the parks.
I mean, you're well on your way, though. That's a good thing. That's awesome.
Yeah, so that's my dream. We'll see.
You know what? It's been a great show. It's a great way to start a week because, you know what? You know, a lot of us don't have the experience with, you know, Hong Kong, and, you know, just hearing about Disneyland is a lot of fun. It's just great to take these mental little vacations, maybe as we're driving into work today or, you know, on a run or maybe even mowing the lawn later in the week. Who knows? So, Janine, thank you so much for taking us to these great locations, giving us some awesome advice for planning, and good luck getting down to your next Disney destination here soon.
Thank you so much. It's been great to chat with you.
All righty. Don't forget today's show brought to you by our friends at touringplans.com. They are the experts when it comes to getting you out of the crowds. They want you to see as many attractions as possible when you make it to your Disney destination, whether it's Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or, hey, even Universal. So check them out today. Drop by touringplans.com. Check out all the great services they offer. And for the price of turkey legs and maybe even some squid, I don't know. You know, you're getting a year of great information to help you steer clear of the crowd. So check them out today over at touringplans.com. Please use our Amazon affiliate link. It's brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. You're going to get all your Prime benefits, cost you nothing extra, and every purchase does help support everything we do here on the show. So again, bookmark it and use it often. It's brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Give us a follow on the social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter at BeOurGuestPod and at BeOurGuestMike. And of course, we've got a great Facebook page at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. One more time, don't forget, this Saturday, September 21st, Hamilton County Fairgrounds in Noblesville, Indiana. It's the Indy Disney Meet to benefit Give Kids the World. We'll be on the main stage there in the late afternoon and doing a live show there and meeting and greeting all day long. I'll be eating the pizza and all the snacks that people are bringing at the potluck, and you should come over and have a great time with us. We hope to see you there. Safe travels to everybody headed out this week. So for Janine, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Monday. Time to head back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.